No doubt about it. Oh, that those girls mean what they just sung. We desperately need for young ladies and young men to take up the mantle and go forward for Jesus Christ. And I hope those girls, I believe they do, they mean what they just sung. And God used them today. It prepared my heart to preach. And I appreciate those girls very, very much. God bless them. Beautiful music. Angelic. Just beautiful. The book of Acts chapter 19 this morning. The book of Acts chapter 19. You find your place. This is our New Testament book we're studying through together. We've just completed studying chapter 18, and we pick up our study in chapter 19. I know this is a shock for the church, but I'm just getting started with it today as we begin this message with you. While you're finding your place, let me give you a few details here. I do want to push again this Bristol revival starting tomorrow night. Obviously, tomorrow night this church is tied up with this funeral service for Sarah and her family. So be right in your place here, but then Tuesday night through Friday, and then next week, Monday through Friday, do your best to get there. Beginning on Thursday evening, we're going to be offering a bus ride here from the church to go. So I encourage you just to make special note of that. We'll give you more details on this later. Be praying for Brother C.T. Appreciate you being here today, brother. God bless you. Appreciate your friendship. We are behind you, behind what you're doing, and appreciate your spirit of unity and allowing the Lord to use you in such a great way. And we're praying for you that the Lord will keep you strong and healthy through this, and that God will use you in a great way. We do have a baptismal service next Sunday morning. Make special note of that. And if you were here, ladies, 12th grade and above, last week, and you did not get the gift, would you raise your hand? You were here last week, but you did not get the gift. We have those. If you'll make your way right after this church service down the long hallway to the office that'll be on your right with the large window, Miss Phyllis will be in there. Those gifts are available for you today. Acts chapter 19, I'm going to read the opening 20 verses and I try to get as far as I can today. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since, or when ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." He said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And they continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases depart from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure that you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. They fled out of that house naked and wounded. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, there's a phrase in verse number 1. It's the phrase, "Paul came to Ephesus." And today I begin this message just as we study this book together on Paul at Ephesus. Let's pray together and I share this thought with you. Father, would you bless today? Thank you for the good music today. Thank you for this girls' group, these teenagers who are graduating high school. And I pray that you'll use them in a mighty way. I pray now as we come to the Word of God that You'll calm our hearts. Prepare us for the preaching of the Word of God. May You speak to us in a clear voice. May nothing be left undone in the will of God today. May You do business with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this chapter in our study through this book, we read that Apollos was at Corinth and Paul came to Ephesus. While he was there, Paul found certain disciples who did not know about the Holy Spirit of God. So Paul preached Jesus to them, and they committed themselves to the Lord Jesus. Then Paul went into the synagogue and preached boldly the things concerning the kingdom of God. Paul had a burning desire for people to hear the truth, and he preached without apology. There were some there who were hardened and did not believe and spoke evil about the truth that Paul was preaching. Therefore, Paul separated from these unbelievers and continued his teaching to those who wanted to hear the truth until all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. The Lord confirmed the truth of Paul's message by doing mighty miracles using Paul's handkerchiefs or his aprons. Certain of the vagabond Jews, known as exorcists, tries to use the name of Jesus to have power over evil spirits. However, the evil spirit prevailed over them because they were trying to use the name of Jesus in a wrong way. As a result of God's true miracles and the power of the name of Jesus Christ, fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Many that believed came, confessed, and showed their deeds. Many of them brought their curious arts books and burnt them, thus showing how the Lord Jesus had truly changed their lives and their desires. Just by means of introduction, I'm getting ahead of myself. True Bible salvation brings biblical change. And we see this in this passage, and I'm not going to get that far today. The Word of God mightily grew and prevailed. Now, this is a wonderful story to read. And as I was reading through this passage, the Lord just began to walk through the verses with me and began to show me several truths that we can all glean from today. We're going to travel through these verses and simply bring out some practical truths. I'm going to try to get to five of them this morning. How many of y'all think I'm going to get that far? Would you raise your hand? That's kind of what I thought. Anyway, as we look at these things, ask God to speak to your heart. These are practical truths. This outline I'm giving you is an outline of application. Just some truths that we can apply to our own lives from these verses here. First of all, the first truth we learn and glean from is found in verses 1 through 5. I will not read it again for time's sake. But as I summarize these verses, you may be reading it right there in your seat if you choose. The first thing I want you to see, number one, is light obeyed increases light. Let me say it again. Light obeyed increases light. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In these verses, we read how Paul asked these disciples. Now, that name disciple means a learner. They're learning about truth, okay? They're disciples of John the Baptist, so to speak. And he asked them if they had received the Holy Spirit. To this question, they responded, they didn't even know that the Holy Spirit existed. And so he asked me, he said, what were you baptized to? And they said, we were baptized unto John's baptism. Now, I've preached on this elsewhere, I think, through the book of Matthew. So I'm not going to dwell on it here. I'm just going to give you this point of application. Paul expanded on John's message of his baptism, and he told them how John was using his baptism to point people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when they heard this, they responded to it. And the Holy Ghost came upon them when Paul laid his hands upon them. Now, here's the point. The point is how these people obeyed the light they had from God, from John the Baptist. And when they obeyed that light, God gave them more light. Now, the only thing they knew that was true, they acted upon. Therefore, the Lord sent Paul with more truth, and God helped him to respond to that truth. Now, folks, this is a great thought to get into our heart, our bosom, so to speak. God reveals His will to those who are obeying His known will already. Did you hear what I just said? Now, I believe it's very appropriate just preaching through a book of the Bible, especially on Graduate Sunday. We may have graduates, high school graduates, college graduates, and you may ask yourself, what in the world am I going to do? I call it the unknown will of God. In other words, you're not going to turn to scripture and verse, and God says, thou shalt go there and buy that house and name your mate. You're just not going to find it. The unknown will of God. Here's what I'm saying. The way you find the unknown will of God is you keep doing the known will of God. I remember how Dr. Clarence Sexton put it this way. He said, finding the will of God is like driving a car at night with your headlights on. At night with your headlights on, you can only see so far. But if you want to see what's beyond where you can see now, keep gas in the tank, keep oil in, I'm talking about in the motor, keep the car going. God may only let you see so far, but He's going to reveal more and more and more and more to you. Now, this is a point we get here. A Bible illustration of this, other than right here, is found in 1 Kings chapter 17. I don't want you to turn to that, but in 1 Kings chapter number 17, this is the story when God tells Elijah to go to the brook Cherith. And He tells him that there is where I've commanded the ravens to feed you. Then the brook dried up. And when the brook dried up, God came to him and said, go to Zarephath, because there's a widow woman there, and I want to sustain them through you. Now get this. Elijah did not know about Zarephath until he first obeyed God and went to Cherith. And when he obeyed God and the light God gave him, and he went to Cherith, and God proved him at the brook of Cherith, and God proved Himself at the brook of Cherith, that no matter if drought is going on everywhere, God can feed you with the birds of the air if He so chooses to do that. God revealed Himself to Elijah there, and when that brook dried up, God said, okay, you obeyed me there. Now let me give you something greater to do. Get this. God did not give him people to reach until, first of all, he trusted God to go to the brook. Now, folks, we need to understand this truth, that God wants to constantly reveal more and more and more and more of His will. And the reason many don't get that is because they're not obeying what God's told them to do today. This is a great thought to get a hold of. There may be somebody listening right now who's concerned about what the Lord's will is for you in a certain area. I'm telling you here that the way to find God's will is to do the will of God you already know. Obey the light God has given you, and He will give you more light. One reason many of God's children do not know what God wants them to do in unknown areas is because they're not obeying the light God has already given them. This is a major thought here, that all they knew was John's baptism. They had never heard of the Holy Ghost of God, but they obeyed the light that God gave them, so God gave them more light. That's thought number one. Thought number two, just walking through these verses with you, here's thought number two. We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We see this in verse number six. Well, the Bible says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, when Paul laid his hands on these disciples, the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. You know what this means? This means that they did things that was beyond their capability to do. They were impacted and empowered by the Holy Ghost of God. And I have it down right here. Oh, how we need to be the same. We need to see our limitations and how the Holy Ghost of God can empower us to do things that we could never do in our own strength. These folks were living beyond themselves. They had supernatural power from the Holy Spirit of God. And this same power is available today. I want to ask you this morning, do you have the power of God's Spirit upon your life? Are you filled with the Spirit of God living in the enabling power of the Holy Ghost of God? I'm telling you that in verse number 6, these folks are doing things now that they could not have done unless the Holy Ghost and His power was upon them. I know that's what this dear man of God who's coming to this area for Bristol, I know that's what he's begging God for. I know that's what he desires. But it's not just him that needs it. It's me that needs it. It's you that needs it. It's our marriages that need it. It's everything that needs it. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The point here is we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Without His power, we are just spinning our wheels. One man put it this way. He said, the mistake made by so many who have trusted Jesus Christ's finished work on Calvary alone is to now attempt to live the Christian life by human effort, willpower, and determination. The Scripture makes it abundantly clear that we have no more ability to live the Christian life than we had to receive it. In writing to the foolish Galatians, Paul said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That's like trying to go from New York to Chicago by pushing your car. You have a You have a motor, you have gasoline, you have a spark plug, and every provision for you to get in and drive, but you insist upon doing it yourself. How foolish. Yes, and how foolish to think that you can live the Christian life in your own power and ability. Curtis Hudson put it this way. He said, a favorite story of A.J. Gordon was that of an American who wanted his English friend to see Niagara Falls. Taking him to the foot of the falls, he said, there's the greatest unused power in the world. His English friend said, oh no, that's not so. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. I am convinced, pastoring a local church, a great church like this, traveling in evangelism before I became the pastor, I am convinced that there is absolutely nothing we face in life that being filled with the Holy Spirit and His power cannot handle. I am convinced of it. The reason we have so many problems today is because we are not Spirit-filled believers. We desperately need the power of God. And we see that here, that when they got the Holy Spirit's power on them, they were living beyond their means. They were living in supernatural power, and they were able to do things that their flesh could never do. This is number two. By the way, all these are really sermons in themselves. You understand that. Number three, the third thought that the Lord spoke to my heart about. As we just travel through these verses, we've looked at thought number one, and that thought was that light obeyed increases light. They obeyed the light God gave them. That's all they knew. So God gave them more light to make them more like Him. Number two, we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God to do things that in our flesh we could never do. Number three, ask God for boldness and urgency to speak the truth of the kingdom of God. This is found in verse 8. Look at it. And he went into the synagogue and he spake boldly. There's boldly. For the space of 3 months, disputing, notice this now, and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. This verse tells us that Paul spoke boldly for 3 months. Then it says disputing and persuading. This means when you look at these words, boldly and then persuading, disputing, you put it all together, this means he was very frank. He was very outspoken. He was not ashamed. And it means he was confident in his preaching the truth to these people to the point that he did everything he could to persuade them to accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Put it this way. He did not water down the message, And he pressed for a decision right now. That's Paul. You know, the message of the gospel is the only message of hope beyond this life. It's the only message. It's the only message that can give people peace and comfort and a surety, 100% sure, that they're going to heaven. You know what I'm glad about Sarah? Nobody, her mom and dad, nobody doubts where that young lady is. Her own spoken word, when they were asking her, and she was, I'm paraphrasing the story, you can talk to them later, but she said, listen, nobody wants to die, but I'm not afraid to die. Because I know he has saved me. And I know I'm going to see my Savior. There's no other message on earth that can do that for a young lady who's getting ready to go out into eternity. Only the gospel. And we who are born again children of God, we know the message of salvation. We know it's what the world needs. You know it. I know it. There are people dying without Christ. And they are going into an eternity away from God. They need somebody to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. And even though we know these things to be true, many of God's children are ashamed to open their mouth and to tell others about Christ. We need to get on our faces and beg God to give us boldness and compassion and urgency to speak the truth to this lost and dying world. Ask God to help you see people like He does. Because when you see people like He does, you'll realize every human being that you come in contact with, they are going to meet God. They have a date with God. And they are either going to heaven or they're going to hell. And I'm telling you, God wants them saved. He wants the gospel to get to them. And He has privileged His children to be the ones to take the message. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm telling you that when the lost hear it, many of them will respond. I was in a meeting this week, Elijah's Harbor, which is right beyond Greenville. It's about an hour drive from here. This is a place, Brother C.T., that Tom Farrell was associated with, and Brother Mike Jackson owned this place. Never been there, you ought to go. Beautiful place. They've dedicated it now to the work of the Lord, like Christian retreats and all of these kind of things. The gentleman there now is Joe Gaddis, a wonderful servant of God. He's leading it and can cook good night alive. I need to stay behind the pulpit, I think, because I was eating there, so I don't want you to see the evidence of it, you know. There is a church in the Churchill area who brought their singles there, their college age group. Had six young people there on Thursday evening when I began. I preached Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, driving back and forth, except on Friday. I just stayed there all day, came home at night. The opening service on Thursday night, six young people sitting there from a church of like faith just right down the road. And two of them responded and said, I need Jesus. And they trusted Christ as their Savior. It's interesting, whenever I preached the final sermon on Saturday morning, I preached on soul winning. I preached on why I witness, why I tell people about Christ, kind of what I'm talking about here. There were seven of them in the room then because there was another one that came. And I asked when I got to the end of preaching on soul winning and witnessing and telling people about the Lord and pouring my heart out to them and preaching my heart out to them, I asked them, I said, how many of you today, God is speaking to your heart, and you know that you need to tell people about Jesus, and you have a desire to do this. Would you raise your hand? I had two raise their hand. Guess which two it was? The two who just got saved on Thursday night. why is it that the longer we live as Christians, the less bold we are? Why is it the longer we are Christians, the less urgent it is? Why is it that new Christians have greater zeal than a lot of old Christians? I'm telling you, friends, just like I told those young people, and I've said it here too, there are two things that you can do in heaven you cannot do on earth. Number one is sin. You can sin here, you can't sin there. It's a perfect place. I'm looking forward to getting there, aren't you? The second one is soul winning. You can go soul winning here. You can't go soul winning there. Let me tell you why. There are no lost people there, friends. We're all born again. Now, if the two things on that I'm talking about, there's two things that you can do on earth you can't do in heaven. One of them sin and one of them soul win. Which one do you think he left you here for? Amen. It's not sin. It's not a trick question. We need to ask God, God, make us bold. God, give us a sense of urgency to tell people about the Lord. Here in this verse, the Apostle Paul, the Bible says he spoke boldly for 3 months. And he was disputing. That doesn't mean he was arguing. It just means he was making sense. He was making sense in what he was doing. He was pleading his case and he was persuading people. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. This is what we need. This is number three. Let me give you a fourth one and I may finish here. Or again, I may not. I don't know yet. The fourth thing I want you to see with me is found in verse 9. I'm just walking through these verses. Notice verse number 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, the learners, the ones that wanted to know more, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now here is a thought that the Holy Ghost of God is going to have to give us all wisdom for. Here's the thought. Thought number four. Sometimes to help people, you have to separate from others. Sometimes to help people, you have to separate them from other people. In this verse, we read how there were some there who were hardened. They believed not, and they spoke evil of the way of the truth before the multitude. As one man said, the gospel either softens or hardens. It's the same sun that melts the ice that hardens ground and makes it unproductive. It's the same sun that produces beautiful flowers that also produces stagnant swamps. The negative results are not the sun's fault, it's the fault of that which the sun shines upon. So it is with the gospel. It will soften the repentant heart and make an excellent character out of one who receives it. But it will harden the rejecter's heart and make the evil rejecter more evil. You know, in this crowd, there were those who wanted absolutely nothing to do with the message. And they even began to take the attention off the preacher, draw attention to themselves, and start making havoc in that congregation. It's a lie! It's a lie! It's a lie! Don't listen! Don't listen! Listen to me, please. But there were also others in that congregation who did believe. And they wanted the message. Therefore, for the sake of those who wanted it, Paul said, let's get out of here. And let's find another place. Leave them alone. And let's take it to where these unbelievers will not affect the message. As a result, verse 10, everybody in Asia heard the gospel. The point is, while everyone need, listen to me please, I'm just about done, okay? The point is, while everyone needs to hear the message of the truth, everyone needs to hear it. Sometimes it becomes necessary to separate from people who try to hinder it. To keep the people who are willing and ready to listen to it away from those scorners. God must give clear direction and wisdom to know when these times are. Psalm 1:1 puts it this way, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Proverbs 4:14 and 15, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away, separate." Proverbs 1:15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path." Now listen to me, please, just so you don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. We are not talking about giving up on wicked people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm in no way saying you just need to give up on those people. Just let them die without Christ. They've made that choice. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you need to give up on wicked people. And I'm not saying that you need to give up on those who are refusing to hear the gospel message. But what I am saying is that we are not to let them affect the message with other people who are willing to listen right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes that means you have to separate from them. You may come back to them pleading for them to get right, but you are not going to stand there with an unbeliever, somebody who's blaspheming God, and this person right here who seems to be interested. You're not going to let that person refute what you're saying to this person. Get that person away from that person and give them the gospel. You ever been dealing with a group of people? Maybe two or three teenagers, and one of them's really, really focused, and you can say, "Man, God's speaking to that young man," and the other two are popping bubbles and all this kind and cutting up and trying to get his attention and draw his attention away from things. Hey, it's okay to separate for the sake of that one who's going to say yes to Jesus. I hope I didn't just confuse you with what I said. And God must give wisdom in this. Let me give you a fifth and final thing. I'm done. It's a short one, so relax. It's found in verse 10. Well, the Bible says here in verse 10, "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Here's a final point today. God wants all to hear the message. The Bible says here that as a result of Paul following the Holy Spirit's leadership and refusing to stay right there, he separated the unbelievers from these outspoken, I'm talking about those disciples from the outspoken unbelievers who were trying to just pour cold water on the message. He separated it. He changed his meeting place. And because of changing that meeting place, the gospel got to more people that way. And the Bible says everybody in Asia heard, both Jews and Greeks. In this verse we read, again, this is just another place in the Word of God that shows how the message of God's wonderful salvation is not just for some. It's not just for some select few. It is for everybody on earth. God wants all to hear the truth of the gospel, Jews and Gentiles alike. No one is exempt. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." My God is not willing that any should perish. My God died for the sins of the world. My God has told me to get his message to the end of the earth. We're only getting started with this chapter. But may I say this? What a chapter. What a chapter. Five simple things that we've gone through today. Number one, light obeyed increases light. If you want to know what God wants you to do and not sure what it is, then you just find out what you do know God wants you to do today and just start doing it. Number two, we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Number three, ask God to give you boldness and urgency to get the gospel to as many people as possible. Number four, sometimes to help people, you have to separate them from other people. And number five, God wants everybody to hear the message of salvation. We'll do something a little bit different. Are those girls still here? Are you? I want you to come down here with me, please, if you don't mind. Those girls who sang. Lakin, if you're here, your guitar. Maddie, if you're here for your violin. I don't want you up here. Just over here at the piano. And this is going to be our song of invitation today. Because it talks about just having a desire for God to use you. Look here, please. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. God wants to use these girls. So what we're doing today is they begin to sing, just over here in the corner if you wouldn't mind, when you get prepared. God is going to open up the altar today. And we're going to tenderly guide through this. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, we're preparing here. Let me ask a couple of questions, and then these girls are going to sing, and the altar is going to be open. Have you today say, Pastor Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad if I drop dead right now, I don't hope so. I know so. I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Put it in the air with mine, please. By the way, don't ever get over the fact that you can raise your hand to that question. Thank you. You can put your hand down. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Jody, I can't say that. I cannot say that I know I'm going to heaven. I can't say it. But I have a desire to. I want to. I desire to. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to draw attention to you. But you say, Pastor Jody, pray for me. I am not sure I'm going to heaven, or I know I'm not. But I want to go to heaven. I desire to go to heaven. I don't know I'm going, but I want to. I really do. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? You say, pray for me, Pastor. I need to be saved. I need to know I'm saved, born again. Let me ask you this question, and then these girls are going to sing. God desires to use you. God wants to guide your life. Obey the light God has given you, and God will give you more light. Ask God to make you bold and urgent in getting the gospel. You need God's wisdom to know when to separate from somebody. God wants everybody to hear it. And I'm telling you today that we need the Holy Spirit of God's power. So I want to ask that you respond today if you want to come and pray. Some of you moms and dads ought to come and say, oh God, get a hold of me and get a hold of my children. Some of you moms and dads of these girls that are singing, what a blessing today. Maybe you just want to come and thank God for how He's working in the hearts of your girls. They begin to play through softly and they're going to begin to sing. Right now, I want you to go ahead and do that. You're not going to be able to hear them like you heard them here, but the altar's open. And if God is using them, come on, come talk to God now. Would you do it? Come respond from the balcony down below. Open it up. Let the Lord have it. Speak to the Lord. Ask God to give you power, give you help. No doubt about it. Desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Here am I, Lord, use
the altar's me. Open. Come on, gang.
Take my life
all the way around. Respond.
All
let God have it. Let the Lord
to
have
be
it.
Is what you want of me, Lord. I give my life to you and all my hopes and dreams and plans I place within your hands.
Open, keep coming.
All I ever want to be is what you want of me, Lord. I give my life to you, and though I don't know what's ahead, I know you'll hold my hand, Lord. You'll always see me through. Here am I, Lord, use
I want you to know something. I love you. My wife loves you all very dearly. All the young people here. And if you'll mean what you just sung, God will take you places that you never dreamed. May the Lord help you. Reminds you about the parent meeting for the junior campers right after church today in the blue room. I'd like for our deacons that are in the service today, if you'll make your way down here, I've asked Preacher Lashley to end us in prayer. Brother C.T. Townsend is here. And I want Preacher to pray over him and just ask God to use him in this Bristol revival. Begging the Lord for his power and all of this, that'll be a good thing. So our pastor emeritus and our deacons are going to gather around him. And we're behind what the Lord is doing in him. And we salute you, sir. You've got a friend right here. And we praise God for you. So Preacher's going to dismiss us in prayer. This is microphone number one. He's going to dismiss us in prayer, and Brother CT's right here. And then
men, get around
okay?
And I want, listen. We need Holy Ghost revival. God's been good to this church, Brother CT, but we all over this area, we need revival. We need a touch of God. And Lord, let's everybody in this building pray for this man. God sent him here. He's had the touch of God upon him, and revivals all across this country. And many have been saved, and we need that here. So let's all just pray for the mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost of God to rest upon this man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this dear man. Lord, I almost feel unworthy. You've used him in such a way, but we know it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And God, I pray that all over this area, this tri-state area, Lord, you'd do something new and afresh that's from heaven. Lord, we don't need something from man. We need something from the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray you'd stir all the pastors and Bible-believing churches all of this area to get behind this man. And Lord, pray for him that God would give him an unusual anointing of the Spirit of God. And Lord, I want to see revival in this day. I saw it when I was a boy, but oh God, America needs it. We need it. I need it. And so Lord, anoint Brother C.T. Thank you for raising him up. Now keep your hand upon him all week long. May we see mighty things from the hand of God. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.